Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Tom Edwards. Today I'm joined on the line by Dominic Maxwell, Chief Theatre Critic for The Times. And the reason he's not joining us here in the studio this week is because he's up in Scotland at the annual Edinburgh Fringe Festival. Today Dominic will talk us through a couple of shows that have caught his eye at the festival, as well as Bacchae, which is showing here in London at the Almeida Theatre, starring Ben Whishaw. That is all to come here on the Arts Review on Monocle 24. Dominic Maxwell, great to speak with you as ever. Thanks for joining us from Edinburgh. How has the Fringe been treating you so far?
I have to say it's been almost unrealistically good so far. I've got a nasty feeling I've got some right rubbish to come, because so far I've been here about 4 days and I've seen almost exclusively good stuff.
Well, tell us, I mean, what's that like? It must be rather interesting, because presumably you go there with your, metaphorical pen, at least a pencil sharpened to, at least put the boot in here and there. Is that an unprecedented array of goodness?
Yeah, I think you, these things go in waves. And so sometimes you think, hold on, have I completely lost my critical faculties? And then actually, I have to say, I did see something last night, a comedy called When Blair Had Bush and Bunger, which is awful, I'm afraid. And I thought, oh, actually, no, it's not me, it's them. Most of it is great. That one was poor.
Well, there we go. At least there's something to get your teeth stuck into. Well, maybe, Dom, let's talk a little bit about your first sort of pick from the festival then. And we can maybe talk about the wider themes knocking around in Edinburgh as we go. Let's start by talking about The Encounter. This is sort of one-man show. Pretty interesting stuff. Tell us the idea here.
Yeah, this is probably the most anticipated show up here. It's part of the International Festival. It's Simon McBurney and his theatre company, Complicite. And this is a one-man show, but this is a show that really, more than any, sort of happens in your head. Now, you have to bear with me. I hope this doesn't get too technical. But what he does is he retells the story of an American photojournalist called Lauren McIntyre, who in 1969 got stranded deep in the Amazon with this isolated tribe, and there was a book written about it, and what he's doing is he's recreating this in our heads using, everyone has to don headphones. He gets this binaural microphone on stage, which is like a head with a 3D mic in, so he wanders around, so we can feel the sound. It's a bit like sort of listening to a Pink Floyd album or something. We can feel the sound going all around us. And by the time there's a lot of stuff around this, and it's very complicated, but it doesn't feel complicated. There's a lot of content in here. By the time we go into the Amazon with this guy, we really feel like we're in the jungle.
Now, tell me, I mean, it does sound like a bit of a technical accomplishment, but I guess people who know Simon McBurney will know he's never been afraid of, pushing the envelope, of trying things that are technically demanding, and indeed doing productions of works. A lot of people have said, oh, that's a bit tricky to realise. You think of something, like The Master and Margarita from a few years ago. Does he manage to carry this off? Because it does sound like quite a complex undertaking.
You're absolutely right. I mean, that's sort of his career-long thing, is to mix this high-tech approach with stagecraft and storytelling, and hopefully on a good day come up with something feeling very intimate. And it does work here very, very well. It's 2 hours long, and he's the writer, the director, and the performer. And I think towards the end of the 2 hours, it gets very cosmic. There's telepathy. There's all sorts of different realities converging on each other. And I think he hasn't quite got the perspective to keep it all as clear and concise as it needs to be. But that's a pretty minor criticism, actually, compared to some of the actually jaw-dropping stuff there is in the rest of this. And I think it's going on tour, and I suspect by the time it reaches the Barbican in London next year, I certainly hope he'll have sorted out some of the early collywobbles.
Indeed. And just in terms of the sort of the original, going back to the sort of source material, if you like, Dominic, does it still also capture some of the, that intrigue that surrounded that book, as we said, going way back into the sort of 60s? Does that endure as well, or does it become almost exclusively like a theatrical undertaking?
Oh, God, there's so much going on, because there is... He has interviews with the author, Petru Popescu, who wrote this book, Amazon Beaming. He has stuff with his child in his flat. He uses an electronic microphone, a device on the microphone, to deepen his voice to do the American accent to be Lauren McIntyre. There is so much going on. As I say in my review in the Times, it is, as they say in 1969, a bit of a trip. There's all sorts going on. At its best, which is most of the time, it doesn't feel crammed. It doesn't feel like there's too much going on. It just feels wonderfully complex, like rain food.
Lovely stuff. That's The Encounter, showing till the 23rd at the Edinburgh International Conference Centre. And as Dominic says there, hitting the Barbican in London early next year. Let's move on, Dominic, to your next pick from the Edinburgh Fringe. This is The Solid Life of Sugar Water, a play about loss and love by the award-winning playwright Jack Thorne. Is this a bit more of a conventional theatrical sort of piece?
No, it's not remotely conventional. This, again, in a completely different way, is not quite like anything else I've seen before. It's about a couple. It's about a couple trying to have sex. It's about a couple who have lost a child. It is very explicitly sexual, not in what you see, but in what they talk about. There's a lot of talk of pelvis bones and more. but it is, and it takes a while to realize this, it is gynecological, like it is, for a very good reason. It's about intimacy, and as it goes along, you start to feel sort of the barrier coming down in a way I've never quite felt before in a play.
I mean, that's really interesting, isn't it? Because I think often when you're confronted in the theatre by shows or performances that are seeking to undress you in a way and get inside your head like that, often it's a bit abrasive, and you almost react and you can't quite engage with it because it's trying too hard. Does this, you mentioned it, is it almost surreptitious the way, is it a stealthy way that it manages to disarm you like that?
First of all, I sort of slightly folded my arms thinking, well, do we need quite as much of this as we're getting? And also, you're right, you're used to sort of very sexual language being used in maybe something like Neil LaBute in sort of kind of an aggressive way. What happens as the sex and what turns out to be the stillbirth of their child come together in the story, you come to see that it's all about getting rid of these barriers to intimacy. It sounds very po-faced. It's hard to talk about it without sounding very po-faced. It's not po-faced. It's challenging. It's awkward. It's uncomfortable. It's very moving at the end. But it's also quite funny, and it's something, I don't know how they do it, to be honest. It's remarkable.
It sounds like quite an extraordinary piece. That's The Solid Life of Sugar Water, which is on at the Pleasance Dome in Edinburgh until the end of this month. Dominic, let's end the show. Let's come back to London, because I wanted to ask you about Bacchae. This is James MacDonald's production of the ancient Greek tragedy with text written by the poet Anne Carson. Perhaps, Dominic, we'll start off. I mean, for those of our listeners who are not familiar, perhaps, with the play, remind us of the kind of the story, I guess, first up.
Well, yeah. I mean, I share this fear, you know, because I've seen these Greek plays, but equally I forget. I think, oh God, Greek plays. It's going to be all right, isn't it? You're absolutely reassured straight away in this. It's about Dionysus coming to Earth to toy with his cousin Pentheus, basically, and it's about the forces of ecstasy or chaos, as represented by Dionysus, with the very sort of tight-arsed controlling Pentheus. And Dionysus is played by Ben Whishaw, who comes on and gives the introductory speech. And I think we think of Ben Whishaw probably as, you know, as Q from Skyfall or as Paddington Bear. We think of him in his sort of film roles. He has quite a sort of milquetoast persona. But on stage, he has this extraordinary sort of live wire magnetism. And he kind of plays Dionysus like a rocker.
Tell us something, is this a play that succeeds? I don't know. Let's look at the rest of the casting and also the staging. Is this something that works all ends up? Is it something that you think will have audiences lapping it up?
Yeah, I mean, it's not straightforward. It's James MacDonald is a very sort of recognisable director. I sort of feel as if I'd recognise one of his productions if I was parachuted in without knowing that. Maybe that's generous to myself, but there is a calmness, there is a stillness, and there's a slightly sort of skew-whiff quality about it, which, again, it doesn't impose itself on you. And this isn't the kind of Greek tragedy which you emerge. It isn't very cathartic. You sort of don't emerge having had this great release. It's a bit more claustrophobic than that. It's quite claustrophobic. And his opposite number, Bertie Carvel, plays Pentheus as... Well, he played Nick Clegg on screen on Channel 4 earlier this year, and it's very, very similar. He plays him as a sort of decent guy, career politician, but a bit tight, a bit straight-laced.
Would you describe the piece altogether as a, I don't know, does it sort of reimagine some of the old conventions? Always interesting when we dealing with sort of these Greek tragedies and this sort of traditional Attic drama. Is it a reinvention, an evolution? How would you sort of describe it?
Yeah, it's an evolution. It's not as big an evolution. The Almeida before, there was the production of the Oresteia, which is coming to the West End. And that was more radical. And that got rid of the chorus. Here, the chorus is very much centre stage, singing this very strange, beguiling, jagged music by Orlando Goth. Probably going on a bit, if I'm honest. Probably I did find myself sort of doing my shopping list, doing a couple of their songs. It's lovely, but it's a bit slow. But yes, I think it's a very good blend of what you expect and what you don't expect.
That's Bacchae, which is on until September the 19th at the Almeida Theatre. And there's still plenty of time, of course, to head up to the Edinburgh for the Fringe, if any of the earlier selections that Dominic mentioned tickle your fancy. Maybe let's sort of return back to Edinburgh, Dominic, at the end. What else are you looking forward to? Are there any other things that have really whetted your appetite? You must be in such good spirits, given all of this excellent work that you've been seeing.
Yeah, the thing I'm really looking for is that there's a bunch of great stuff at the Travis Theatre. I mean, everyone said, oh, the Travis is good. And I hate to be predictable, but almost everything I've seen at the Travis so far has been terrific. The thing I'm looking forward to most is probably kind of Simon McBurney's French-Canadian opposite number, Robert Lepage. He's coming here and he's doing a multimedia, high-tech, one-man show at the same venue, the Edinburgh International Conference Centre. That's called 887. And that's the one that's opening on Thursday this week. That's the one I'm really looking forward to.
Fantastic. Well, excellent suggestions, excellent recommendations, as always. The insights of Dominic Maxwell. Dominic, thanks very much for joining us on the line from Edinburgh on the Monocle Arts Review. Thanks, too, to our producer, Holly Fisher, and our researcher, Fernando Augusto Pacheco. We're back at the same time tomorrow, talking books then. But for now, from me, it's goodbye. Thanks very much for listening.